Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 75th Venice International Film Festival, and I'm honoured to be in the company of filmmaker Mila Turajlic, who is presenting her film The Other Side of Everything, one of the finalist films of the Lux Prize 2018 edition. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So the kind of obligatory question would be, would you maybe like to introduce our listeners to the film and just tell them a little bit about what it talks about?
Sure. So the film is called The Other Side of Everything. Mm-hmm. It's a feature documentary that essentially tells the story of a door in our family apartment that's been locked for 70 years. Mm. But the story of this door is obviously just a pretext to use a family chronicle as a way to tell a more inside story of everything that happened, that we lived through in the last three, 4 decades. So the war and the bombing and the revolution that we had, but everything told through a very intimate perspective. So trying to give it some kind of more emotional or maybe more personal dimension.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to kind of start the interview with, this intimate dimension of the documentary. Well, it's fascinating, but also, is it difficult?
Very. Everybody warned me that the hardest thing to make is a documentary that basically centers on your own personal life story and your family. And it is very, very hard to film people who have known you all your life. And it's very, very hard to film inside the space that you live, because you're kind of schizophrenic. I mean, I shot this film for 5 years, and for 5 years you have a camera always ready, because any lunch, any phone call, anybody ringing at the door could be the beginning of a scene. So you're not really living your life. You're always watching it through a prism of, should I be filming this, or should I just let this, you know, happen? So it can get very complicated sometimes.
Oh yeah, and of course, you know, you're also discovering things about your family that you may not even have known. Which I guess I always kind of wonder about this. There's so much that I don't know about my own family that I would think that would be a motivating, a plus, a bonus for you as a filmmaker, right?
For me, yeah, but for me what was really strange is I thought for 5 years that I was telling or filming one story, and then in the editing I discovered that what I had actually filmed was another. There was a completely different axis to the film. I thought it would be very much about how one space, you know, 4 generations that live in one apartment, turn that apartment into some kind of microcosm of history. But it ended up being a completely different film, and that's kind of the beauty of it, because you think you know what you're doing, but actually it's the material in the end that tells you what's the film that you've made. And
that's things that you shoot, right?
It is, because it's all happening on some kind of very instinctive and subconscious level, and so it's really only when you're sitting with an editor in the editing room, and for them, obviously, it's a fresh thing. They're coming at the material with completely virgin eyes. And, you know, it was my editor who started saying, but, you know, this is where the power of it is, and this is where the emotion of it is. And what actually happened is I ended up having a very intimate conversation with my mother, who was an activist in the time of Milosevic and during the war, and then became a member of the first government we had after the revolution. And so it became very much a mother-daughter conversation about engagement, because she's someone who spent her life politically engaged, and I'm someone who hasn't at all. And so it just became, the film became something else.
You know, it might seem a simple question, but I'm kind of curious about that. So when you sit down with your mother for a conversation like that with cameras, how does that work? How do you ask for that interview?
It's very tricky. I mean, first, I thought I would have a cameraman, and then I realized I couldn't, because you bring someone else into that conversation and it completely changes the dynamic, and it takes away from the intimacy. So part of the 5 years of filming is also me learning how to film this in a way that I wanted it to look, and I wanted something very poetic and very... So it was also a process of learning by error, but it has to do with the fact that I didn't want to interview her. I really wanted to have a conversation, and so there's all of our hesitations and all of our doubts and all of the moments I get angry because I don't feel she's really answering. I feel like she's evading what I'm trying to understand. All of that is in the film. And so it kind of becomes this really organic conversation, and it really builds the narrative of the film. But it takes forever for somebody to forget that they're in a filming situation. It takes forever for them to forget that there's a camera there. And I think one of the secrets of making films like this is the time you take for people to forget. And then it becomes a bit of a joke. Everybody's saying you've been filming for 3 years. And only then, when they kind of see you as a joke, does it really become possible to film what you want to film.
Well, I mean, do you ever doubt yourself?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Every step of the way. But you're making something about your family. Your first instinct is no one's ever going to want to see this.
Right.
And so you're always battling with, is this interesting just to me because it is my family? Or is there a universal story that's being told here? And so at one point in the process of editing, we started doing a lot of screenings for people from, like, bringing in outside people, showing them the film, trying to see how is it playing to someone who doesn't know anything, trying to see if it's working on this universal level. And so yes, it's really, really the moments of up until the very end, I didn't know if I had a film.
That's so interesting, when the intimate becomes universal, right? Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that your mother was an activist around the time. You're also interested in politics and cinema through your cinema. I feel like your politics is very much like a driving inspiration for your works. Where does that come from?
Well, I really grew up on the streets following my mother in all of these. It was 10 years of protests, and so I really grew up following her on all of this, and I studied political science thinking that's what I was going to do.
Right.
And then when I was 19, we had a revolution. And it's really funny because much, much later, I happened to be in Egypt at the time of their first presidential elections after their revolution. And I went to Tahrir Square and I saw all of these young people full of enthusiasm and energy and thinking, you know, they're in the beginning of a new era of their country. And it hit me really hard because that's what I lived when I was 19.
Yeah.
And I realized that I've become incredibly bitter because I was looking at the young people in Tahrir Square thinking, you guys have no idea that this is the highlight of your life and that everything from here is going to be downwards. And so I had a real moment of complete disillusionment with politics after the revolution, because obviously it never delivered this democratic country that we were hoping for. And I stopped, I completely abandoned all political engagement and I turned to cinema. It's like I lost my faith in one language, which is politics, and I found my faith in another language, which is cinema. So I went through a complete transformation.
That's interesting, because I feel like I've definitely experienced that disenchantment, not necessarily with politics, but maybe out of those disenchantments, there can be a turning point, you know?
Absolutely. You hit a dead end, you know, you hit a closed door, to use this metaphor, and then, you know, you need some place to orient your faith, and your faith in what are we doing here, and what is more important than just, you know, building your own life, and so on. And for me, I remember very clearly, it was when I saw Agnes Varda's documentary, The Gleaners and I, that I began to realize that there's another language that I would like to try and speak, you know?
Mm.
And I find that an incredible film, because it is a film about documentary filmmaking. It is a film about what it means to have a documentary filmmaker's eye and to follow that eye. And so I remember where I was very young when I saw that, and it just hit me that this was a form of engagement with or communicating with other people that I really was excited by. And so that's how I ended up taking that path.
And did it make you less bitter? You mentioned the bit that you were bitter.
I'll tell you what's really funny. I actually think you feel a lot of my bitterness in this film.
Uh-huh.
But ever since the film came out, because it's been traveling so much and I've been traveling with it, it's the conversations I've been having with audiences that have made me less bitter.
Yeah.
That's what's been incredible, that you see that a film can speak so powerfully, particularly to young people. We had a screening this morning and there was this group of 28, the young people who were chosen for the... The energy and the emotion and the tears in the room, and then it made me cry, and all of a sudden you begin to realize this is where the exchange happens. This is where ideas get, you know, shared, and some kind of group energy gets communicated, and that makes me less bitter, for sure.
Wow. Yeah, that's cool. So we're running out of time, but I do want to ask you, like, it may seem like a generic question, but documentary filmmaking is just, you know, it's just such a word that is very often debated upon. People can't really define what a documentary is, and I feel like it's a very personal thing to every filmmaker, especially who makes documentaries. Every critic even has their own opinion on what is a documentary. What is documentary to you? What is the definition of documentary to you?
I mean, the word documentary is a really unfortunate word because it brings people immediately into a world of journalism, you know, facts, documents, objectivity, and I don't think that's where we are at all. For me, documentary filmmaking is cinema. It's cinema using the exact same grammar and language and power of drama that fiction uses. It's only the path you take is slightly different. And I always like to think that, you know, if fiction filmmaking is like going on a safari, then documentary is like going on a trek in the jungle. It's just a little bit more wild. It's a little bit more unpredictable in how you get to the end result. But the end result, to my mind, has to be a satisfying emotional ride in the same way that a fiction film has to be.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's very interesting. All right, so we have to wrap up the interview, but one more question. We're here talking about the Lux Prize, and obviously it's just a spotlight on European cinema. And really, my question is not even a question. If I say European cinema, what are your thoughts? It could be like past, present, future cinema. It could really just be about everything. What pops in your head?
Urgency. I really feel that something has happened in the world of fiction. This kind of, maybe in the same way the society is, you know, kind of moved apart into like the very rich and then the very poor. Yeah. Something has happened. Films have become either very big and, to my mind, pretty much soulless, or there are these small films that are being born out of an urgency to tell a particular story or to share a particular feeling. And I feel that the most exciting things that are happening in European cinema are right there.
I see. Well, on that note, I thank you very much for joining us. It was a great pleasure talking with you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been really exciting being here.
Absolutely. And I wish you all the best. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.